Hey, Jonathan.
Manny.
How's it going? We haven't done a TNT in a little while.
I think it's been
a couple of months or so.
Yeah,
yeah, but, I think so. You know, here we are. And you brought a friend, obviously.
Absolutely.
I know a little bit about Antonio, but you're going to shed a lot more light, and then Antonio's going to shed quite a bit of light.
Oh, my gosh.
How did you guys know, how long have you guys known each other now?
A
long time.
Oh, really? Yeah?
It seems like a really long time.
Yeah, our relationship is deep.
Met on the job site? Or
we worked for the same organization for a long period of time, and you know where we met in that organization escapes my mind. There were so many wonderful interactions from job sites to we worked together in the office for a period of time, and the friendship that evolved out of that is what brings him here today. It's like as soon as I chat it, and it melts my heart every time I talk to him because we could talk for hours, and sometimes we do. And that's what it is to connect as a human being. I was just sharing with you before, every time I would meet Antonio, one beautiful thing was the first thing was, let's go get a coffee.
Yeah.
And it's always like at a cool spot too, right?
I love
coffee. If we're out, especially this gentleman likes the downtown core. So he's always got cool spots. Like, let's go here. I got to take you here. Okay, man, I'm in for a coffee. And that's where it evolves from, right? The conversations, just the connection, the evolution. There's always
do you guys feel like the world around you is drowned out and you're just focusing on the conversation between the two of you guys?
What? I do.
Is that what generally happens?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's not forced at all. It's organic. It just goes. And one thing leads to another. You know, like, what are you doing? The kids and the house and this. And, you know, a vacation. And then what are you doing? Oh, my God. You know, it just flows.
Well, I've learned so much from you. So it's an honor to have you here, part of the show. My last conversation with him maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I literally was in our sunroom and I remember just sitting on the floor. I was literally sitting on the floor because the conversation just got so enamoring about life. And we talk about professional, but he knows about my family and vice versa. And his three children are older than mine. So I've learned a lot about how to show up differently, what to do, what to expect. It's like we talk about a sounding board and a friendship and all of that holistically combined. And by the way, we made big shit happen on job sites.
Nice.
And it was never about the work. It just, the work always occurred.
Yeah. I'm curious. I got one question for both of you guys before we get started.
Yeah.
During those conversations, what percentage of those conversations were discussing the negative aspects of construction versus the positive aspects of construction? Because I'm assuming it was not 50-50. It was skewed towards one side.
I think that's a good question, but I think we always led differently. We always went a different route.
We were looking for the positives.
Yeah. We didn't want to do anything what was done. We knew things were different. How were we going to approach it different? We know the end result. We knew the end result. The end result was giving the client what they wanted. Sure. But all the process leading up to it was different. The whiteboard. I don't see the whiteboard. We would just throw ideas at it and timelines and quotes and so on and so forth just to open up a different avenue, if you will, a different approach, a different angle. Yeah. Got to the end result. We'd always get to the end result. So we were always very positive. I don't think we really...
It was not
negative.
Much negativity at all.
No.
And you can see the energy that Antonio emits. It's humble. It's calm. Yeah. That's how it showed up on a job site. Nice. So when I show up like that, when I come to a job site and he's like that, how do you not embrace that?
Of course.
It's not like,
You feed off of it.
Absolutely. It's not like, oh, this guy's a fucking asshole. It's like, hey, this is what's going on. All right. So... how do we pivot past it? What do we do next?
Yeah.
Okay, so Antonio DeSantos, right?
Yeah, DeSanto. Yeah, no S.
No, DeSanto. Sorry, yeah, DeSanto.
It's all good.
I kind of like Carlo. And I'll call a guy Carlos.
I
don't know why you add an S. Maybe I'm seeing double vision.
It's all good.
No, and then to get a hold of you, anybody wants to chat with you, you can find him on IG under IMADISANTO. And then Jonathan, you want to share your information? People first.
Jonathan Sinelli, people first leadership, JC at Jonathan Sinelli. Best ways, pick up the phone and call me. I love people. I'm a people person. 416-717-4139.
And this is another episode of The New Tough, right? So we just started this. I don't know. Are we going on a year now or no? We're going a little more than a year. I'm going to say about a year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, TNT, The New Tough, we're just looking at just the way you guys introduced the show when we started it. It's just like looking at construction completely different. Yep. Takes one person, simple as that, right? We know there's a lot of bad apples out there, but so be it. Doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And we can find some good ones through the bushels and then just start building it from there, right? For all you white people, baskets. You know,
I love bushels because it's actually tomato season. So that's my father's going to be the day. We're making tomatoes on Monday.
Okay. Keep it. I need it for the yard. I need it for the grass clippings. Keep it. Yeah. I'm not buying bags anymore. That's right. It. Done. Right.
Bushels.
We know how it all works, right? Where do you guys want to start this conversation? How many years you've been a Sparky now? Or you-
oh, I'm going to say at least 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least right out of school? Years.
No, I did a few other things with some friends for the time being. And then it was, hey, you know what? We need some help here. Why don't you? And then it started from there. That's where it started. So 25 plus years ago. I know I was.
You look back and it's like a blur now.
I was just reflecting, honestly, not that long ago. And I could not believe where I started, how many years it's been. I recently met up with a gentleman that I worked with 20 years ago, and he was ready to retire. It seemed like he was ready to retire 20 years ago, and I just saw him, and we saw each other on the job site, and I went, oh, Ed, oh my gosh, like I knew you 20 years ago, and roles have reversed now. So now I'm giving him the orders, whereas I was getting the orders. It's been 25 years, 25 plus years.
So he's got to be in his 70s, or
he's late 60s. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, still going. Just finishing off.
It goes fast.
It does very.
Yeah, and then you move on, and as long as he's educating the next generation, simple as that.
Yep.
Where do you want to begin this, Jonathan?
I think I want to lead a little bit more into who you are as a human being and some of your journey, right? I appreciate that you sort of scratched the surface of that. And for the audience out there, like, it's 25 years, and it hasn't been an easy 25 years. Throughout life, it hasn't been easy 25 years throughout construction. You've pivoted, you've tried different things, and you demonstrate a resilience that is really worth sharing. So can I volley back to you to talk a little bit more about your journey and some highlights along the way?
Well, thank you for that. I'm really overwhelmed. I wake up every day and I do what I need to do. So like hearing it from Jonathan, who I call my mentor before we go any further, I want to thank you just personally, just before we get started.
You're welcome.
You've been a great friend and confidant and a colleague, and I'm not going to get emotional, but like you mean a lot to me. So you know that. So we're going to move forward from there. I just wanted to say that and clear the air. Who am I? I am a 50-year-old divorced father of three. I've been in the electrical trade for 25 plus years.
Can I ask what point you divorced at?
It's been about 7 or 8 years now that I've been divorced.
Okay.
Like I said, time
goes
time,
by fast. So the kids would have been how old?
My littlest one, Luca, was probably 1 or 2 years old. He's going to be 10.
Wow.
September.
And the old?
And the eldest, she's 19 currently, going on 25. and then my first son, David, he'll be 17. So, you know, right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it, for sure.
Can I ask, was it your decision to divorce or was it her decision to divorce or both?
No, it was not amicable. It was her idea to divorce. And it's awfully hard, but you move on. It's a harsh reality. When it happens to you, you hear about it.
Were you blindsided?
Totally. Yeah. You never really see it coming until you reflect back.
You look back and you're like,
well... Yeah, I can kind of understand, you know, I see it now, you know, and when you're in the middle of it, you just don't know. you're oblivious, you're blind, you're busy, whatever the case may be. And then, you know, some time passes, and if you're true to yourself and you look back and you reflect, you can somewhat understand.
Who was the first person, like, Antonio, you tell me, fuck off, Manny. You're asking too many questions.
No, whatever. By all means. No,
I'm just curious. I've never been married, and I have no interest in being married. It's just like, that's the way I've been designed. Yep. Just leave it at that, and you can question all you want, and 2 + 2 = 5 for you, that's fine. I don't give a shit, right? So I was just curious on who was the first person that you turned when you had that news presented to you?
I held on to it for quite some time.
You kept it to yourself?
I kept it to myself.
Yeah.
Only because I needed to understand how, why, and where to go. So this is what I do on a day-to-day basis, is taking this information that's before us, whether it be a timeline or whether it be materials or manpower, whatever the case may be, processing it, prioritizing it, making a plan moving forward. Well, that's how I treated somewhat the marriage. Was
it makes sense,
right? I needed to make the money. I needed to be the breadwinner. I needed to understand where we needed to go as a family, as a whole, as a unit, make a plan. And that plan was work and just go and just keep on going. And that's how I treated it. Unfairly.
Sure. That's for somebody else to decide.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But that's when you're in it, you know, that's what it is. That's what it was. And that's what it was. I was the breadwinner. I was just trying to make everybody happy.
Is everybody at a better place now?
Most definitely.
How long, like, how many years did it take for you to get to a better place where you started to see that things were, we were being human beings again. We're being fair to each other.
Yeah. I think it took a good couple of years.
Okay.
I think it took, cause then, you know, they're young, you know, they still need dad as equally as they need mom. But dad, unfortunately, because of the circumstances, dad couldn't, you know, be there all the time. Unfortunately. And if it happened to be every other weekend or, you know, on a weekday for dinner, you know, that's what it was. So that took some time for everybody to swallow, to digest, to make sure, okay, we're going to see dad on Tuesday, or we're going to see dad next Friday for the weekend. That took some time. It took a couple of years. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Two very long years.
Two long years. And then COVID didn't help. COVID didn't help at all because nobody was seeing anybody. So I didn't have any relation, really physical relationship for a good, I'm going to say 6 months without them, you know, as a whole. You know,
hardest thing that you ever went through? One of the hardest?
That was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough. There was no interaction. Zoom is great. You can, you know, Zoom all you want, but it's not tangible. It's not... You know,
especially with your kids.
Especially with your kids, yeah, exactly. You know, and so I could see their expression and I could hear their tones, but I just you couldn't hold them. You can, you know, let's go for a walk or let's go do something. That was a difficult time. That was probably one of the difficult times that we've been as a family. Because it's not traditional. So, but it's still family. That was a difficult part, I think, for all of us, but it took a good couple of years for sure. Yeah.
Did you guys go through, I guess, what I like to call the roller coaster of divorce, where you don't, one more or the other doesn't want this to continue. They want a new life. Yep. And then all of a sudden months go by, a year go by, and all of a sudden they're like, maybe I made a mistake. Let's try to reconnect. Let's try to make this work. Mm-hmm. And then they just rekindle exactly the reasons why they don't want to be there. And then, and it goes up and down. It goes up and down.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that most people that go through this go through that.
That never occurred for me. That was never the situation.
So once the decision
on my end, when, you know, things went awry, it was just, okay, now what? You know, how do we deal with it? How do we move forward? What is it going to look like in a year's time now?
Yeah.
And it just became, you know, not even about us anymore. It all just became about, you know, the children. You know, the upbringing, where they were going and what they were going to do and who they were going to be with. So, yeah, no, there was no roller coaster. There's no roller coaster there. It was just, okay, let's move on.
Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how People First Leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast.
How do you deal with it though, right? Like, there's no, you learn of this information. For the pragmatic brain in you, and especially in the construction orientation, is like, how do I fix this? What do I do next?
Yeah.
Except there's a lot of emotion attached to it. Like, what happens next for the first period of time?
I can only speak on my end and what occurred for me.
Sure.
And my experience. I didn't really tell anybody. Not because I was embarrassed, because I know that happens. This happens all the time.
Was it because
every day
you wanted to first figure out what is happening?
I needed to figure out why. I needed to figure out how. Yeah. I needed to. What's the next step?
Which is 100%.
So right. Step A didn't work. So I need to go to Plan B now.
Yeah.
What's Plan B now? You know, and if Plan B doesn't work out, then how do I set up for Plan C?
Yeah.
What do I do to keep on moving forward? So that's where most of my energy was spent. I knew what the last part was going to be. You know, we were all going to separate, but it was that you know, next step. What is that next step going to be? What is it going to look like? You know, and I had to figure it out. So I didn't really tell anybody.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
I don't think so.
It depends who you talk with, right? You know, like, did I internalize too much? Was I not vocal? Whereas, you know, maybe women in particular, they have a community that they go to. They share, they'll go for coffee, they may go to a bar, they may have a drink or two.
I say cheerleaders.
That as well too. Yep. They may fluff you for sure, or guide you down the wrong direction, or give you a pat on the back and that's that. But at that moment, I didn't want to share.
Yeah.
I just needed to figure out what was happening. And once I figured out what was imminent, I knew what was going to happen. I was able to move a little bit. But you're right. The emotion part, it wasn't between man and woman in the marriage. It was more now, it became my relationship with my children. That's where the emotional aspect for me was the largest hill that I had to conquer. That was it. Not waking up in the morning and hearing the pitter patter of their feet, not bathing them, not getting them ready for school, making their lunches. As routine as it seems, we take it for granted. You know what it's like to have children and you hear them every single morning running to the bathroom or running, you know, to your room or, you know, hugging you or, you know, dad's here, you know, and then that kind of takes it and it's all gone, like, instantly. So there's a part of grief that happens that must occur for you to get better. It was grieving. I needed to grieve. So not only did I need to figure out my next step,
yeah,
personally, where I needed to be, but I needed to grieve as well.
How did you deal with that? How did you deal with the grief?
The grieving was difficult. I'm going to be totally blunt with you. In order for me to move forward, I almost put myself in the mind frame that I did not have children. It was that. I was dead set on that.
Why?
I didn't have children. Why? I don't have children. Because then I felt like I felt like I was, it was not holding me back, but I was holding, it was holding me down. That I was holding me down and I couldn't move forward and I needed to move forward. Divorce splits families. It's an awful thing. And I know it's sometimes it's not forever and it happens all the time, but it never happened to myself and it never happened to anybody in my family. So I didn't know
how to, the first one in the family.
Yeah. So I didn't know how to deal with it. And I have three kids that I'm dad, I'm provider, I'm Superman, I'm, you know, everything. And I just felt like that was going to hold me back. So I needed to remove myself completely from the situation. Not physically, but just in a mental state where I can escape. So I can have some sort of clarity without anything burden or any grief holding me down. I needed to escape. I needed to separate and sever. But when I would see them again,
it all come back.
It would all come back. I'd still be dad and I would still love them and I'm good, but I would approach it differently. Now I'd be more grateful for them and being a unit. Now our unit is different and I'm grateful for them, more grateful. You know, maybe I took them for granted, I think, you know, like, oh, she's waking up. Okay, I need to get into that. Like, it became maybe too routine. Maybe, I don't know exactly. But when I would see them again, I'd be like, oh, yeah, this feels good.
So hang on a second, because I want to, if this helps somebody else out there, this is huge. So what it seems like to me is you literally, when you weren't with them,
yep,
you went to a state of mind where, is this fair to say they don't exist? Is that how I interpreted this?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you were focusing more on what you need in your life to keep you moving forward.
True. But I couldn't, although I have them as dependents and I needed to look out for them, I needed to separate myself totally.
Yeah.
Got it.
From the whole situation.
I could see that.
From,
yeah,
you know, the ex-wife, the kids, the in-laws, the family, and I needed to understand what I need to do next.
So you cut everything off at that point?
Everybody and everything. To a certain extent, mentally.
Sure.
Some physically, yes, because of whatever the situation is, but yes, mentally.
Is this still occurring and nobody really knows what's going on in your external world? You still haven't told anybody?
Nobody knew. Nobody knew for, I'm going to say, I think two people knew. If I were to remember and recall, I think maybe two people knew about the whole situation for about 3 years.
If you
not even the kids, like
if you
the
didn't
kids.
Do that, Antonio, do you think the pain and suffering would have been longer?
I think you prolong it.
I think it would have been longer as well.
I think
too.
You prolong it. I don't think it ever really kind of goes away because you're always, you know, a loss is a loss.
Yeah,
you never really get over a loss. Whether it be a divorce, whether it be a, you know, someone in your family who passes away, whatever the case may be. But once that loss occurs, you're never really, you just deal with it. You just deal with it. You deal with it. You still need to go on, though. And you get a reminder every once in a while, and you're like, oh, geez, yeah, I remember that. Those are good times or those are bad times. But you need to move on. You need to move forward. So you have to let go, for sure.
So both my older sisters are divorced.
Yep.
My older brother and younger brother are not divorced.
Mm.
But they were divorced because their husbands cheated on them, right? So it's a different situation. Mm-hmm. When that happened in the family, which happened a long time ago, my first thought was wondering what the children are going to outcome-wise. And I mean, are they... that generation going to avoid being married to avoid these heart hurtful years that I saw my dad, my mom go through? And I still question it because neither of them, they've had some serious relationships. You know, they've been with the same people for, you know, you've seen them more than once at a Christmas get together, right?
Yep.
So obviously the relationship is longstanding.
Yep.
So you start to wonder, okay, are they eventually going to get married? This is a different generation. Cause yep. I would say the oldest niece is 30, the youngest is probably 20.
Yep.
So you know, with the economical times and everything like that, that might be factoring in whether they're going to get married, whether they're going to have children. We all know how the landscape is all panning out. But if you eliminate all that and you just look at the family dynamic, do you look at them, your children, and wonder, are they ever going to? Because I'm still going to say that, even though I'm not interested in marriage, I think marriage is still a good thing, right? There is still a huge amount of joy and those memories and all this other stuff that is attached to building a family together and building, you know, memories together that are such strong memories. Are they going to avoid all that because of the hardship?
Yeah.
Or they still will go down that path?
I talk about this a lot, blind faith.
Yeah.
You just try to set up your foundation as best you can. That's, you know, and then just hope for the best.
Just be good.
Just be good, you know. And I tell my boys, be honest.
Yeah.
You know, be a good man. You know, David, he's so great.
The older?
He's my eldest son. Yeah. He's going to be 17. So he has a little bit of independence now. He's finding his way through, you know, high school. And, you know, there's girls out there. And he's having to deal with them. You know, he's going out with them, he's chatting with them. And I'm just like, be a good man. Be a gentleman. You know, so just trying to set a standard for them. And hopefully our past experiences don't inhibit them from progressing forward. So it's foundation. Just hopefully we build the right foundation.
You think it's harder for the daughter versus the son?
I don't know. Hard to say. I don't know. Personally, I think it's equal. I mean, I wouldn't know 100%. But
I figured that the daughter would read the mom's feelings a lot better, and the son would read the dad's feelings a lot better. So I don't know if those would translate to either sibling, right?
Well, I really couldn't say for certain. I just hope that everything turns out really well. And if they find love,
great.
Great. And if it's not for them, it's not for them. But, you know, I just hope that whatever it is that I did, that I've set them up, hopefully, correctly, down the right path. That's all I can really hope for. It's a little bit of blind faith. I know that's hard.
No, I have a deeper relationship with you, so I understand. And I'm saying it's not hard because the person that I know, that's how you've always shown up, right? You've always shown up as a good person and doing the right thing. I can't think of a time where, even going through the whole divorce process, where you demonstrated to me, and I know it existed, you just didn't demonstrate it to me, the anger and aggression. You were really humble and calm about it and said, how do I get past it? That's a great, in my opinion, that is tremendously unique. And I learned a lot from that. I mean, in fact, you shared some stories, just illuminated things for me, even within my own marriage, to become aware of.
Yeah. Right?
So,
was that where you went first, surprising, when you were first told that he was going through a divorce, a separation, that you started looking at your marriage, your own marriage?
Yeah, I think so. Perhaps. I actually even recall a time where, you know, I had him and I have had many conversations, and some have been around relationships. And I reached out to him, right, and said, this is what I'm going through. What can you tell me? Right? What do you know? What have you lived through? Where's my blinds? What am I not aware of? Right? And whether it be a sounding board or a simple response to just become aware of. And again, a lot of the work comes internally. Mm-hmm. It has to start internally. And even as children, our children are younger, as you met yesterday, so thank you. So we would oftentimes share stories, right? Yeah. Like, what am I missing? Tell me what I'm not aware of. Tell me what I'm looking for. And it would, you know, one thing Antonio would never do is would never say, this is how it's going to be. This is my experience from our family. I don't know how it's going to be in yours, except become aware of this. So that's been cool, right? And it was never about... I share this because you can flip the script on that, where you talk to people who have gone through divorces where, like, never get married, women are evil, on and on. And it was never that case.
Yeah.
Right? It was the exact opposite, which made me become hyper curious and probably connected me tighter in my own relationships.
I never did that, did I?
No.
Yeah. I just needed to move on. I just needed to let go. I just needed to move on. that was the only thing that you could do, because it consumes you.
Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. But it's easy for
and if
a
you
man.
Let it consume, and if you let it, I'm telling you right now, I've had a lot of conversation over the last X amount of years, whether people call me coach, advisor, mentor, whatever the case may be, about this. They let it consume them.
Yeah.
You let that stuff, and this is why, you know, let's just go back a little second. When I didn't tell anybody for 2-3 years, that's what one of the biggest things was. I didn't want it to consume me. It becomes cancerous. It's toxic. It's so toxic. And so over the last couple of years, when men specifically reach out to me and they're going through whatever it is that they're going through, I'm like, dude, you just cannot let this consume you. Acknowledge it. Know that it's happened, whatever it is in their life, but you need to move forward. And don't stay there too long. You have to grieve. You have to be there for a bit, but then you got to go. It's time for you to go. So, yeah.
Do you guys think it's the, I don't think it's the emotional consumption. I think it's the financial consumption that's killing the men specifically out there. Because if you look at it, the man is going to suffer financially far greater than the woman will.
We're talking about divorce?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? It's always in favor of the woman versus the man. So I think that when a man starts to try to figure out what is happening here, he keeps on going right to the financial consumption instead of the emotional consumption. And I think what you did is you focused on the emotional side and you completely disregarded the financial side. Mm-hmm. We've all had zero in our pocket and we've all had money in our pocket and we've all made money and we've all lost money. And I think it's too easy when you have a family divorce, and I'm just speaking out of my own relationship status, and you can say I'm full of shit because I've never been married, so I haven't experienced that. And I've had married people tell me to my face, you have no voice in this conversation. And I just clam up and I walk away. Fine, I have no voice. I'm a third party looking out, and I'm just kind of seeing some common sense there, but you don't want to hear it? I'm fine with that.
No, you're valid. You're valid.
I know, but a lot of people don't look at it that way. Like someone who's not a parent can never share parental advice.
Sure.
And I'm like, those people exist. And I look at it like, okay, you've lost this money. You've made this money. You've grown financially. You've lost financially. That's a variable that could be filled up again. Mm-hmm. The emotional one is a different variable. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to build that up. And if you just let that consume you so much, you're never going to rebuild that.
Never.
You're just going to consistently deplete it, which is like exactly what you just said. It's just, you're going to become a shell of yourself. Mm-hmm. And you just, someone's made a decision. It's affecting the whole family. Let's figure out how we make this work. I will never be the bad guy. I will never say negative things. I will never pit, you know, our kids against you. I hope that you never pit our kids against me.
Right.
And I'll be the father over here. You be the mother over there. And we'll move on. At some point, you're going to possibly date again, remarry. Yep. I will do the same thing maybe. Yeah.
You're still a family.
You're still a family. You still have those memories.
It's just not the traditional, traditional family type. It's a little bit different now.
But I think that if you do that, don't let it consume you.
Right.
The money will come back.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
7 years. It takes approximately 7 years for a man to reestablish himself after a divorce.
Yeah. That's the average?
Average. That's tough.
That's very tough, especially at an older
7
age.
7 years. Let's say, I mean, you're middle-aged. Let's say you're, 80? You live up to 80 years. Let's say you get divorced at 40. You're having to restart again.
50.
Yeah. You're restarting your life at 50. Which depends how you want to look at it. Could be a blessing, right? It could be a positive thing, or a lot of guys will see it as a negative thing. I lost my job. I don't have any money. I have to start over again. Holy shit. Now what? What do I do? They don't know what to do. So the last couple of years for me, that's where I've been guiding some of the men down some paths, some avenues. Don't let it consume you. You know, you need to go. You need to move on. Let's go.
Were you, I know you mentioned that you were the first in the family, but were you the first in your circle of friends?
100%.
Really?
Yep.
How many have fallen since?
One.
One more only. Yeah. In the last 7 years?
In the last, 15 years.
Oh.
That's in my close circle of friends. So in my close circle of my friends, only two of us.
And how many are in the circle?
Oh, I'm going to say about a dozen. Yeah. Outside of my family, brother and my sister and so on and so forth, family. Friends-wise, yeah, we're about a dozen. And so I was the only one. So it was all new water. I was all new water. So it's happened. It happens all the time. Happens every single day. But it just didn't happen in my circle of friends. It didn't happen in my family. I was number one.
Therapy-wise, did you turn to anything? Did you speak to any counselors? Did you go down the path of couples therapy or anything like that? Or
we as a couple at the tail end of the relationship, yes.
Okay.
But it was already too far broken that it didn't matter how much money we threw at the therapist. It just, there was too much resentment there. There was a roadblock there. It wasn't going to happen. Then that's where the harsh reality came. Okay, this is it. This is it. So we're done. So we need to go now. So what's the next step? So did we throw everything at it? Maybe. But I think you both need to be willing to dive into it. And sure. If you're not, then there's no point. You know, if it's one-sided, then forget it. And that's where it was. So yeah, we tried.
And both of you are at a better place right now?
Yes, I think we are.
Okay.
I really can't speak on her end, mm-hmm. but on my end, 100%.
But from the times that you interact with her, I guess, regarding
we're okay.
family
yeah.
functions or yeah. exchanging of the kids. Yeah,
we don't converse too much. We still live, we live separate lives. And the only thing that ties us together right now, obviously, are the kids.
Yeah.
So it's, school, who's picking up, who's dropping off, vacations, getaways, so on and so forth. Other than that, there's really not too much conversation, which is okay, which is fine.
I guess it's kind of like construction, eh? Like, nobody on a construction site is going to talk about an accident or something that happened until it happens in front of them or one of them. It happens to one of them, right? Then it's discussed, right? So as soon as you're the one and then you come into the circle, I'm sure the other 10, 11 at the time, we're also questioning. They're probably going home and reevaluating and probably, unfortunately, envisioning a life where they're not here anymore. Mm. And which is difficult to do.
You know, can I jump in there for a moment?
Yeah.
Because you said something interesting that I've had conversations with another friend that I can think about, and he actually, we were having this metaphor, and that metaphor came up. He's like, envision what, and it wasn't, I don't remember how that conversation was going. There was a couple of us there, but the metaphor was envision what a household is. Envision your own house, looking through your window, call it your family room or wherever it is, and all of a sudden it's empty. And sort of just acknowledge what's present for you. And if you, we hear about visualization, and for those that practice visualization, it can be very powerful. You brought up a very interesting space where coupling what you're talking about, which is we take it for granted sometimes, the pitter-patter of the feet. What does it look like to actually go to that?
See, it was weird. Like for me, and I was much younger, and I think I'm going to guess I was in my late teens, early 20s, when all of a sudden the first sister gets a divorce or starts going through the separation because of the cheating on his behalf, right? And there's a whole story behind that because of culture clashing. It's like the wedding photo comes off the wall. Certain pictures that were group shots get put into a storage box or something like that.
Yep.
So it's like you are slowly erasing the family, right? And I know there's jokes on social media about how you present a portrait of boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, and you kind of put them at the ends of the portrait setup. In the event that that doesn't work out, they could easily crop that image out. I thought that was absolutely stupid that people are thinking that. Yeah. You're already gambling on the odds of these things failing, so then you can still present your family as a home. Right. But that's what starts to happen is like one daughter gets a divorce, a second daughter gets a divorce. That wedding photo comes down. This wedding photo comes down. Those pictures come down. Photo albums get flipped through. Cellophane gets lifted up and pictures are removed. It's like, and that's old school Portuguese mentality. Yep. It's like they're 100% supportive when the marriage is happening there, regardless if that person's Portuguese or not. And in particular, in my family tree, there is nobody that brought home Portuguese. Everybody brought home everybody else. So my parents were embracing. They loved it. It didn't bother them. It was like, you're still a grandchild to them. You're still blood. You're still part of the family. Mm. But the moment the divorce happens, it's like the images need to be removed. And I felt that was weird to me. I just felt it was weird. I understood it, but I felt weird to me.
Mm.
But then again, you're talking to a guy who's never kept a single photo of a relationship from my past. I never have. Like, I kept them when I had them. And once the relationship was done, I had no purpose for those images anymore. I have the memories. Those you can't erase. But the images, I don't have.
So if there was a hard copy, you physically discarded it.
Yeah. I don't have it, right? So I was doing the same thing. I saw it, and I did the exact same thing.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, does that go back to what you're talking about? Where when you were with the children, I'm with them. But when I'm not, that image doesn't exist.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. I think there has to be a little bit of separation, severance, in order for you to move.
I agree 100%.
It's unfortunate that the wall becomes a little bit more bare, but you know, at least you'll have a memory. Like, at least you'll have those memories. So I'd rather have a bare wall and have memories.
I think it's an interesting philosophy. So thank you for sharing that. And I think the messaging is there's like grieve, but don't hang on to it. Like, don't live in that space all the time.
Yep.
Because it'll kill you.
Yep.
I just look at it like, take the pain at the moment. I treat it as if you had an accident on the job site. You cut a finger, you stubbed a toe, you hammered a nail, whatever it is, you hit a thumb. Like, just take that fucking pain.
Yeah.
Like, just take it as much as you possibly can. Take it for that moment that it happens. Take it. And then move on after that. Start the healing process after that. Because once you take that pain, and we all know scientifically, if you say the word fuck, it helps you take that pain. It gets you over that hump. Mm. And then as soon as you get over that hump, the pain starts to dissipate.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men in this situation, they just hang on to that pain so much that it never gets a chance to dissipate.
Yep.
Mm.
You're just prolonging that initial pain that you should just take.
You got it.
And then fucking move on.
Yeah.
So from your experiences, what is it that causes men to hold on to that space? Is there still hope? Is it like, oh my God, it still might work?
It's a loss of, listen, the day that it happens, so if you have a failed relationship in my situation, I look at it a 24-hour period. It's like whatever time it happened, by the time it comes around the very next day, I start to feel in my body and my mind, the pain starts to dissipate. Mm. I'm not trying to be cold or calculating or anything like that. I'm just saying that, okay, you hung on to it for a day. It's almost like you bought something new. Like, how long does a new car smell last
right.
for? I think the older you get, that window gets shorter.
Okay.
You buy a new car, you walk in there, I swear to you, less than a day, it's done, the smell. But when you're younger and you knew, this is like your brand new car, this is what you actually saved, and it's a Honda CL, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, I got two letters attached to the name now. That smell lasts a week, right? So it's like when you get older, those painful moments should last shorter because you're more mature to control it now. Mm. And then you don't hang on to it. But I think it goes back to the financial. Men start hanging on to the financial loss. And that kind of contributes to the emotional pain not going away. Mm. I fucked up financially now. I'm going to be fucked, like you just said, for 7 years. Mm. I'm like, this is hard to swallow.
Yeah.
But what if you are much better financially speaking on the eighth year? We don't know. We don't know. That's really up to you, right? Yep. Attention, aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Thank you.
It's always tough. And I'm glad that you're bringing this up and sharing so much because there are a lot of people in the construction industry, mostly men, that are fucking going through this.
And they're miserable.
Yeah.
And they show up miserable.
Yeah.
And when you go to work and really, unless you really are in love and passionate with what you do day in, day out, which is really hard to do. When you got to get there and
you're perfect every day.
And you got to get there and you got to deal with this, you know, and listen, and that's why everybody's going through something. So you have to be, you know, calm and polite and humble and, you know, respectful because everybody's going through something, but it makes things so much more difficult to get to the end result. You know, when you and your team, you're building a team, you need to get to the end and he or she, whoever they may be, is the weak link and they're miserable and they just, it just doesn't go well. It just doesn't go well for the whole team.
So what do you do then? What do you do next from your experience?
It's the same way that you feel off the vibe of a positive person, like how you guys talked about at the very beginning when you were first talking to each other. You can sense that positive vibe between the two of you guys. It's the same thing that works on a negative. Like if you have this person coming in holding it, it's going to feed off of that person to the other people. And I think that person needs to do something about it. I don't know what, but they need to do something where they can't continuously come in. It can't be Monday to Friday coming in like that every day.
Yeah.
You're just going to infest everybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe there's, and there's where it starts, self-awareness. Hey, man, do you realize how you're showing up? Because right now, the energy you're emitting is awful. Nobody wants to be around you.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't realize it, especially if with that first grieving stage of poor me and they're wallowing in that grief. Not everybody knows. I love what you're talking about. The 24-hour rule is I'm going to hang on to this and in 24 hours, I need to move past it.
I do that because it's the sun up, sun down. Like Kevin Hart said, listen, doesn't matter what you fucking do today. Tomorrow, the sun's coming up. Mm-hmm. You can't stop the sun from coming up tomorrow. So if you know that the sun's coming up tomorrow, then that means the sun's going to come up the next day and so on, right? So then do something different tomorrow.
Do something different.
Or you can continue doing the exact same thing, but all you're doing is just prolonging that pain, right? And it's hard to, I think the one dumb thing that some men do, and I think a lot of men do this, is they spy on what's going on the other side of the fence.
Mm.
And I talk about social media spying, and you shouldn't do that. Like, just ignore it. If anything, unfriend the other person. Yep. You don't need to be notified when that person's dating somebody new. Like, how many relationships have we been in when we're younger and all of a sudden it didn't work out? You broke up. You had the fucking heart crushed. You know, all of a sudden you hear so-and-so is dating somebody now. And you're like, well, I don't want to hear this shit. I don't care. Like, you need to, at that point, don't care and move on. Because that ingredient is in that fucking, that recipe, no matter what happens for the rest of your life. They could be dating somebody new next week, next month, next year. It could not work out. Then 2 years from now, it could be somebody else. And maybe eventually they might have a child with somebody else. You have to just accept these things, that this might happen.
Yep.
And if you spy, social media spy, you're just going to prolong the pain again.
Mm.
You don't want to do that.
You're reliving it.
Right?
Why do you want to keep on reliving day in, day out the exact same pain? That's why you need to go. You need to move forward.
Yeah.
It's... acknowledge it, come to terms with it, but you need to go because you're just reliving the grief just day in, day out.
I mean, just focus on, I think you mentioned, I don't know if it was in the email, you're like, exercise was a big thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had other people on the show, gym time is better than jail time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love Clifford for saying that. Like, it's just like, it makes so much more sense. And that's the one good thing about I'm going to say more the men's side, but women can do it as well too. Like I just came across a video which I blew away, and I reposted it because I had to. 70-year-old mom started exercising.
Yep.
And within 2 years, she dropped down so much weight and she was so much more vibrant and she was walking. She's 74, still kicking it.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, you only hope that you could be that active at that age, right?
Yeah.
So it's like turning to gym and turning to eating right and maybe toning down the alcohol. Listen, we're European, man. The wine's got to stay. I don't care what anybody says, right? So it's just like if you tone down the vices and you tone up the exercising and the focus, that will focus you. That will clear your head. That will move forward.
100%.
Right? So it definitely helped you, right?
Definitely helped me. That was my gateway, I think, to a lot of, it started, I guess, when, and you know the story, I didn't like where I was trending. And I just needed to go. It had nothing to do with a divorce, this is all me at this point. I just didn't like where I was going. And he loves this story when I tell this story. There was a picture that was up. I have it in my phone and it's a reminder. So it's me in the backyard. I'm drinking a Tim Hortons coffee. It's a double double. I already know this. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, that's not me, man. Who is that guy? I wasn't obese. Yeah, a little overweight, you know, but I didn't like where I was trending. And that's when I said, okay, that's enough. So I started.
How old was the photo or the time that the photo was?
No, it was, honestly, it was probably a couple of years. It was relevant. It wasn't like, you know, when I was a child. It was relevant. It was totally relevant. And I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not going to be that guy.
And that was the wake up moment.
And that was the wake up moment. And I started. So, you know, my journey in the fitness has been different. It did help with all the emotional, you know, baggage and all the things that I was going through at the time, for sure, because that was my gateway, that was my release, for sure. But it was, fitness for me has been more than just, you know, the band-aid to cover up what I was going through. This was all me.
What do you mean more?
Well, it was just, it gave me clarity. Like before I came onto the show today, I had already worked out for an hour. I went for a quick jog around the block and I planned out my day. I know XYZ needs to get done. I know I need to put a time frame, a limit. I need to get to what I need to get to next. Gives me clarity, gives me organization. I'm calm. And it's, there's something about that stillness in the air in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock. I know you're going to sound, you're going to say, guy's crazy.
No, I know it.
Something about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, you're outdoors. There's a clarity. There's a hush that happens. It's in it. The universe, it almost seems like the universe is whispering something just to you. There's a clarity that happens and it just allows you to gain momentum and clarity and organize yourself. You know, what is it? And ask yourself the questions. Hard questions. This is it, you know. It does something.
I'm assuming you don't do it with music or podcasts or anything like that. You do it just with natural sounds, or is it a variety?
I'm not always.
I do it without anything. I actually prefer the nature.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like these days is I'm noticing more coyotes. Like I don't like, what is all the coyotes going on here, right?
Well,
because I see the rabbits all the time.
Yeah, I live in the city, so I don't see. I don't get a chance.
And coyotes for me. I know they're small, like so to speak, they're dog size.
Right.
I just don't need an altercation with a coyote. Right. At 4 exactly. O'clock in the morning,
yeah, I know. I mean,
I don't want to find out what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Who's the skunks? Win? I can understand the rabbits. I can understand all that shit. But I totally understand what you're saying. The clarity is just like it's almost like you're the only person on the planet at that very moment.
Yep.
You literally are. And then sometimes you'll see a shadow and there's somebody else looking for clarity.
Right, exactly.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll just do a nod or whatever.
And
I just think
that it sets you up. Like it just sets you up for your day.
Yeah.
It sets you up for the week. Those are good habits. I think they're really good habits. I would tell everybody, you know what, as hard as it may be, I don't know what, you know, your day-to-day life is, wake up a little bit earlier. Just do what you still got to do like routinely and then just head outside if you could. Just for half an hour. Just go for a walk. That's all it is. Small block. Go for a walk. Half an hour. come back,
you'll see a difference.
I will guarantee you there's a difference.
You'll see a difference.
Okay. The only difference for me is I throw in another hour on top of that with some strenuous.
I would suggest all future shows, you know, do that for all the guests. They come on board, they do that exercise routine, right? They go for a walk.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we probably have a 90-minute show of Darth Vader being interviewed because everybody would be like panting.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Is that what, you know, for you, it's you're outside every single day?
I try to be outside every single day.
Winter months, rainy months.
Yep.
In addition to whatever other gym exercises you're doing.
Also. Yeah. Beautiful. But that's something different. But that's...
You're looking for clarity there.
No. I think in the mornings, I'm setting myself up, you know, for the week, for the day, so on and so forth. I think when I'm in the gym sessions and it's late at night, I don't know. It may be clarity. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I think
you
some
have
days,
to stay focused because if you... I learned that your mind doesn't wander the way it wanders if you're elsewhere. You know what I mean? It can wander when you're on the job site. It can wander when you're hanging out with friends or whatever.
Yep.
But on the gym, if you're not paying, if you're not focusing, you can hurt yourself. You can bend, twist, sprain, do something.
True. And
at our age. You don't want any of those.
Oh, man. I'm going through some, you know, difficult injuries right now. We don't bounce back as quickly as we used to. But, even though you could try to do everything right, you know, there's some exterior variables that you just can't control, right? But it gives you clarity. Yeah. So I do, but that's something totally different for me. Like, I want to push.
What do you mean?
I want to push. You know, they tell you you need a rest day. You know, it's not good for your body. You know, you really can't do it. One of the things that I kind of hang on to a little bit, but I use it to drive me more than anything, is, you know, I was called a fraud and, you know, oh, you're really not that good at it. And you know what? This is just a big F you, you know? And then I look back and I'm like, well, it really has nothing to do with them calling me a fraud and, you know, that I can't do it. Now I'm like, I'm 500 plus days doing this. That's pretty impressive, man.
You haven't missed a workout in 500 plus days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Two-a-days minimum.
Two-a-days.
Yeah, so in the morning I'll go for anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour, and then typically late afternoons, early evenings, or later, I'll go for another hour and a half.
Your kids noticing?
Yeah.
Of course they are, right?
Yeah. They don't like to see... Dad, are you bare-chested? Can you put some clothes on? Like, you know, I mean, I'm working up a sweat, you know, like I need to take off the hoodie. Like, I can't have the hoodie on all the time. You know, dad, my dad, you know, like you're on social media, right? And, you know, this is my dad.
It's inspiration.
This is my dad. And it's good when you make it a part of your life and then you see it transcend. Mm-hmm. So David, who's 17 now, now I start to see him. I catch him around the corner in the mirror, and he's like, he's doing the bicep pose, and he's looking at his back, and I'm like, yeah, but you should be doing that.
Yes.
It's a good thing. It's not ego, but even just for health-wise. And my littlest one, 10 years old, he's got like those 5-pounders. They're all siliconed, and he's just, Dad. And he's in the mirror, and he's like, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then you know what? I hear, Dad, my daughter, from the top of the stair, are you almost done? I got to do some yoga. Yep. Give me 10 minutes. Everybody's into it now. And you know what? That's, we're talking about foundation and building a foundation and having it built.
There it is.
There it is. Remember we were talking about blind faith? That's it, brother. That's it right there.
You never have to ask your kids to do it. Just lead by example.
But that's the role model. Yeah. That's exactly it.
They're doing it on their own because they see the benefits that it's benefiting him.
When we're talking about job site, this guy leads by example.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he gets enough credit, to be honest with you. I think, you know, I know you've, you know, trended out of the industry, you know, a bit. Oh, man, but you're something different. Yeah, you're a true leader. I don't think you get enough credit. This isn't fluff. This is like true. This is concrete. This guy is a leader for sure. Just, and it's unfortunate because you know, what does a leader look like? What does a leader, you know, is he stern? Is he, you know, not fair? Yeah, I mean, you can be gentle and you can be humble and you can be stern and you can be fair. And this, he has been this whole, I mean, this whole journey that we've been on together. Yeah, that's a leader for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're in and out every single day. You're in and out of it every single day. So,
introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor, or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Building the foundation. We're talking about building a foundation. So when your daughter says, hurry up, Dad, I got to do my yoga class. And David's in the, you know, mirror and he's flexing his muscles. Yeah, it feels good.
Why are so many tradespeople so hard-headed when it comes to when they feel that they've gotten enough knowledge of the industry, they don't need to hear anybody else tell them new ideas? Huh. Which is such garbage, because we know for a fact that I will still be learning until the moment they slide me into the casket. You know what I mean? So it's like,
you're the anomaly.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand that.
But most people don't. They're hard-headed. They're like, listen, I've been doing this for 5 years. I've got my license. I've got all my tickets. I got everything. I don't need another punk coming on the job site telling me that, why don't you consider this?
Yep.
Well, why don't you open up and maybe consider it? Like, don't dismiss it. Listen to it. Consider it. And then evaluate it. I'm not asking you to do it right now. I'm asking you just to consider it later on.
Yep.
But that's the industry that we're in.
Yeah, instead of a dictatorship. And that's kind of, for me, I haven't been a dictator. This is the way you do it. You run from A to B. Well, hold on. You can still get to point B through a different avenue, can't you?
Yep.
Do you really need to go from here to there this way? Well, hold on. Okay, tell me what you're thinking. Can we come halfway? Maybe there's a little piece that I can give you and there's a little piece that you can give me and we can be democratic. In some situations, you need to be a dictator because...
mission critical.
Yeah, it's critical. Like we need to go right now. This is it. This is the steps that you need to go through. You need to follow it. But for most of the time, well, why can't it be democratic? Give me a little piece. I'll give you a little piece. We'll meet halfway in the middle. Away we go. We're gonna get to the end situation just the same. The end result just the same. So, you know, why so hard? Guys want to write out what they know right to the bitter end. It's unfortunate. You're the anomaly because you're learning every single day. And if you don't learn, you're dead.
What's the point of you being in
here? You cannot adapt. You're stuck.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even with this show, I've learned so much just from speaking to people. We're not even on a job site, and I'm still learning so much about a job site and about trades and about skills and about new ideas. And I'm like, I'm itching to take those back to the job site or share those with other people. And that's what you should be doing. But you get a large portion, I think, of the population of tradespeople. They punch the clock. They know exactly which widget they got to turn, how many they got to turn per day. Yeah. And this is what I get paid on Friday.
Yeah.
And then that's it, my week. And then I do it again next week and next week and next week. And I don't care.
Yep.
But that's not who I'm speaking to. Nope. I'd rather speak to people who actually care and want to drive by that building, that house, that whatever it is, and say, I had a hand in building a portion of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we know it, right? So it's hard for you, Jonathan, when you get on job sites, because you have to somehow identify those hard-headed individuals and then the ones that actually want to absorb new knowledge and move forward, right? Becomes a challenge.
I'm lighting up when
you say that. I don't know if I could do it.
It's exciting. That's the excitement part for me. That was always the exciting part, is when somebody would give me a challenge. I'm like, ooh, well, this person, they would be labeled as difficult or challenging. Like, all right, let me talk to him or her. Because at the end of it all, we're human beings. And if you become curious and you can dig and extrapolate what's not there, that's where the connection occurs. We've had some real jerks. We all know. We've all lived through. We've had some people who are jerks on job sites. It's not intentional. Something else is going on.
In their lives, whether it's personal, professional, we don't know.
Yep.
So how do we take it from here, all of a sudden down to here, and now, hey, man, let's go have a coffee. Right? Fuck you, I don't want a coffee. When you do, call me. Right? And we could talk about this all day because it's so different and unique. And you and I have had the pleasure of standing on sites together, experiencing how you can easily flip the script. And I can think of a couple of individuals where the simple thing, Manny, was we made it about them, right? And we became part of their world. And then all of a sudden we're connected. And all of a sudden that conflict, disagreement, all of a sudden it now becomes so microscopic, right? Anyhow.
The older we get, the easier for us to blow things out of proportion. Like dynamite blow things out of proportion. Like it's just the smallest little fucking detail is like a monster of an issue when it's really not.
It's really not.
It shouldn't be, right?
Yep.
Really focus on your priorities. I love the analogy that you brought up as like, go home and picture this house empty. Your family's not here anymore. Like how much is that going to hurt you?
Like, in the grand scheme of things,
scheme of things.
What you're dealing with is
this
that
dickhead
really
treated me like shit on a job site or stole important? My screwdriver. Like some little stupid thing. Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, I mean, I'm not wishing this, but what if there's loss of life in your family or what have you? Accident happens. Diagnosis revealed. In the grand scheme of things, what's really important in your life?
Yeah.
Right? And focus on those things. If you can't control some things like someone's decision to not make this a family anymore, then accept that you can't control that part, but decide on what you can control.
Yeah.
So I can be a better father. I could be the best super dad for these kids. I could give myself more energy and like exercise, eat healthier. I can let my kids discover this on their own. I don't need to tell them to be physically fitter. I can educate them saying, what else do you want to learn? I could maybe point them in the right direction of what career path. Your children now are career path zones.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they are. So, and the world's an oyster right now for them, right? Yeah. Like it's the options that they have today don't compare to the options that you had yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's what you should be focusing on. Who gives a shit if someone called you a name on the job site? How important really is that, man?
You're talking about embodying philosophies and ideologies, which is exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, your children are embodying that philosophy that you've demonstrated.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it is. Like, you have a choice. Again, you can go home and bitch and complain, and then you should do it this way. Yeah, but if you're not embodying that person of who you want to become, then how do I expect others to see that?
Right.
Here's the thing. I mean, again, I'm not a parent, I'm not a husband, but I think if your children are seeing you take care of yourself and they're seeing you focusing on what's really important in your life, there's a good chance that you will be walking your daughter down the aisle one day.
Yep.
There's a very good chance that you're going to be giving your sons some really important dad, son, husband-to-be lessons one day. There's a very good chance because before, if you are just bitter and angry, I don't think that opportunity is going to come up to them.
Yeah, but guys don't know that.
Some people take that away from you. You want to walk your daughter down the aisle.
Yes, but I know, but again, you have to be in the right frame of mind. You have to do that self-awareness. You got to do that talk. Maybe it's the clarity at 4 a.m. that they're going to need that, you know, to help them along. I don't know what it is. They just don't see it. They just don't get it. But yeah, that's ultimately what you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that drives me. Still doing at 50 years old, I'm still hanging off bars. And my son, who's 17, he's saying, that's my dad. And my daughter, you know, like that.
No, hanging off bars meant something else in your 20s.
Yeah. The calisthenics bars is what I was referring to. But yeah, but you want to set that up. You want to set that up for them. But
lead by example. They want to
firstly
see
for yourself, though.
Yes.
You know, see, that's the thing.
Don't do it because you want them to see it. Do it because you want to do it. Because the cause and effect it's going to create on you.
That's right.
Right.
And then everything else, hopefully, you'll set the foundation. They'll see it or they will see it on the job site, whatever it is. And, you know, follow your lead. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not saying just the physical health side. Listen, maybe you are not a physical person. You don't want to exercise. Mm. Maybe it's like, painting. Maybe it's sketchy.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's like, maybe, like, listen, my good friend, an accountant, he just started taking up music 10 years ago. And now he sends me recordings of things that he's done.
Oh, cool.
And this is a person that never was musically inclined. And he plays the piano beautifully. And I was like, dude, you like, that's you? He goes, yeah, it's me. And I was like, that's actually really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm like, so maybe you're musically inclined. Maybe there's something else out there that is calling to you. Right. And that will actually, you know, possibly inspire your children, your family, or what have you. Could be anything.
It occurred for you in a job site. Can I pivot there for a moment?
Sure.
Recently, you know, upon your departure from another company,
yep.
The story you share and elaborate if you choose to is when you were leaving the job site, I think it was an apprentice had come up to you and give you a hug and said, I don't want to steal the story, so please fill in the gaps. I see you're smiling. Can you bring us into that for a second?
It was, I was recently let go. It was not performance based or anything like that. It was just, it was, you know, a business decision.
Downsizing, whatever
the case may be. So they had to let me go. And so when it happens abruptly. There's no, hey, listen, by the way, we're going to let you go. No, it just happens. And so, you know what, when I gathered my things and so on and so forth, and I'm circling back, I felt bad that I didn't say goodbye to some of the key guys that I thought were really, really good. And I wanted to tell them, hey, man, keep on going. You're really good at doing what you're doing. So I just wanted to say thank you and, you know, keep on going. And one of the guys, and his name was Bruno, I'll never forget, he came to me and he says to me, you know what? He goes, it's unfortunate that you got let go. He goes, I don't know why. He's like, I don't know why you got let go. But he's like, if anybody can find another job or excel in their life, it's definitely you. You are the most positive person that I have ever met. And I want to thank you because every day I come to work, right? This is what we're talking about. Yeah. And every day that I come to work, he says, every day that I come to work and I see you, it's just like I have this like will and this energy just do that much better. And I'm just like, you know, that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not about, honestly, it's not about the accolades, but when somebody tells you that, you can't stop. Like that's a driving force. Like if that just doesn't feed, definitely doesn't feed the ego, but if it doesn't feed your drive, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. But that definitely fed my drive. And I'm just like, well, I know I'm going to get another job and I know I'm going to excel. That was never in question. That I already knew. But to have that kind of, you know, an apprentice say that to me, and I'm just like, okay, you know what? And then I think I'm on the right track.
Yeah,
I'm down the right path. So which is good.
But that's the impact you want to leave, right? Like, that fills your heart. Holy smokes!
And he's a leader. I'll tell you that. Right, I knew that he was a leader. Like right off the bat, I'm like, oh, this guy's got something. So it, you know, to come from him, knowing that he's going to be a future leader, and that he's taken a little bit of what I've given him, shown him, and he's going to be perfectly fine. But for him to tell me that, it meant a lot.
I'm sure there's others too, because there's a lot of people that are younger that they want to say something, but they're a little too nervous to say something, right? And they might say it down the line, right, when they're actually in a more different position.
I think both Jonathan and I, when we hit the job sites, I think we've always kind of given our crews, guys, projects space.
Yeah.
If you need to say something, you know, here's your platform. You can say it good or bad. And I had it with my guys. You know, I would have crews of like, you know, 50 plus. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm always giving you guys shit. Here's your opportunity. Go ahead and fire away. And you know what? I don't take it like it's a negative thing. It's a positive thing. You know, maybe I'm doing something that they just, you know, they don't get, or maybe I can do something differently that they can get.
Yeah.
It's just, it's beneficial. So create that hard skin and take it all as constructive rather than just like, oh man, a personal attack.
It's never personal.
Oh man, I'm going to get you in the parking lot. No, it's not that.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Wow. I think you've done that a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anything else you want to share? I still want to discover some more shit, but whatever else is going on. But how's dating now?
Different.
Is it different?
It's different. Yeah, dating is different. Yeah, things have changed. You know, it's, you know, there's not that many nightclubs and so on and so forth out there like how they used to be. Like now it's a little bit more, you know, restaurant, loungy. It's a little bit more intimate, you know. But it's also good too because, you know, you kind of know what you want. You're a little bit more mature, you know. It's a little bit more direct. It's a little bit more filled with intent, you know. It's good as well, but it's just a little bit different. That's all.
Comedic?
It can be, I think, at some time. Not personally, but I could see that.
I say comedic because I agree with you that the directness is there. I think at a certain point, there's no filter. People are just like, here's my grocery list of what I'm looking for. Are you on this list?
Are you on board? Yeah. Are you
no. Okay, see you later.
Yeah.
All right, I get it. All right.
Yeah. But I think that just comes with maturity. Like as you age, just like, you know, I don't have much more time here. So I might as well just get right down to the, you know, is this what I'm looking for? Am I what you're looking for? You know, it's more direct. It's more intent.
Right. Is that a process too, though, again, to go through that phase of like, what am I actually looking for?
Yeah, sure.
Right? Because I'm sure that there's part of the grieving process is you, again, that.
Sure.
Like.
I think you have to figure out what the hell you want.
Right.
That's one of the biggest things. Because, and you got to fix yourself and you're always changing. You got to do the work, man. You got to do the work, man. Because if not, then you're just going to get right back into the same situation over and over and over. Oh, I dated this one and then this happened and I dated that one and that one happened. Well, you know what? Maybe those girls or whomever isn't the problem. Can you?
I go back to the person.
Yeah. Can you look at yourself a little bit?
Exactly. Right.
But there's a barrier. There's just sometimes they just don't get it.
Do you think self-awareness is changing? Do you think that like all the work that we're doing, all everything we talk about, do you think that there's more self-awareness, less self-awareness, or equal as far as it all starts with self-awareness? It's a loaded question. It's just a curiosity, though.
Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how people-first leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast. I don't know how to answer that. I think there's factors involved. To kind of dictate what the outcome, if it's going to be more or less of the same these days, right?
Yeah.
I go back to the grocery list of things. I think certain people, whether you're a man or a woman, you have a list of demands when I've never heard of demands before in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like there should never be Bob Marley, flaws. You fall in love with flaws. You never fall in love with, there's craters in the moon and yet we stare at it on a full moon. Like there's flaws. Yeah. If you embrace flaws, you find that attractive. So it's like if you present a list of demands, then I'm not the person you want to speak to, right? Or this is what I want from my life in the next 10 years. You're not the person I want to speak to. Ooh. There isn't a clock associated with a conversation about being intimate with somebody else. There should never be a clock, right? So that's how I look at it, right? But then again, I've told you this, I joke, I've never had a successful relationship. I've had memories. I've had experiences, right? Have I been the bad guy? Maybe in my younger years. Have I been the good guy? A lot more, right? But a lot of people are on their own paths and you can't get them to deviate from that path.
Right.
Nor should I. I don't want to because you have to be attracted to the flaws. So if that's their flaw, you should embrace it. Simple as that, right?
Mm. That's an important thing that sort of triggered in my mind too when you said embrace your flaws. And even as relationships evolve, one thing sometimes we often forget because we become comfortable is embracing the flaws.
Yep.
Right? It's those flaws that perhaps at one point in time brought you together or attracted you together. And yet what shifts along the way as time passes to say, well, those flaws are now pet peeves or are now irritants.
Right? Do you guys think that most men in their 40s and 50s that have gone through a divorce are looking for, when they're ready for another person in their life, are they looking long-term with that person? Because I get the sense that the men are, but the women aren't. Am I wrong?
My experience suggests that from the folks that are in my orbit and in my world, the answer is for males, what I've noticed is yes, after a period of time.
Yes, after everything's cemented.
Call it that grievance or whatever period of time you want to talk about. But yes, to answer your question is the long-term outcome is I want to be with somebody.
And then here's the alternative question that I get, that I've seen, that I've heard from older women. Do I want to spend the rest of my days with this person? That's not a question to be asked. Like, you shouldn't have started the relationship if that's a question to be asked that you haven't answered. Do I want to spend the rest of my days with this person? Like, is this the person that's going to be by my bedside? Is this the person that, whatever your religious beliefs are, you're going to be next to in a casket? Like, whatever it is, right? That's not a question to be asked. That's not a question to ever be answered. That's not a question to be a part of the conversation.
Sure.
Like, I think you should discover each other, work it out. If it works out great, then great. But it takes Chris Rock, man, two people moving a fucking couch.
Yep.
It takes two people. A lot easier than fucking one person moving a couch.
That's right.
So it takes both people to make this relationship work. If you're both interested in making it work, then by all means, make it work, man. And if you're starting a new life in your 50s and you're dating somebody new again, I haven't been to the clubs. I can't go to the clubs because you will see it on my face. Like, I would just like dismiss. I'm going to get a mojito and I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Done. I'm done. Right.
Yeah.
Because I will not fit anybody's list.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I think I'm old enough that I'm not being a grouchy old man. Going, I'm not going to bend to your needs, whatever. Yep. It's not that. It's just, we are not going to connect at that point.
Yep.
So if you're looking for a package, then go to Walmart. Find it on the shelf and buy it. But if you're looking for a partner, someone that you can grow with, grow old with, let's talk.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Then again, I'm not married. I'm not a husband. I'm not a dad. Right. I'm not a parent.
But you come into something there that's like subconsciously, you're saying, meet me where I'm at. I'm not coming down to your list or coming up to your list. I'm asking you, here's where I'm at. Meet me where I'm at, whatever that looks like right now, and let's have a conversation from there. Let's either evolve or extinguish the relationship.
I think women also are looking for men that are very interested in improving on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Whether that's like micro things or major things, they're looking for improvements.
Yeah.
So someone that is taking care of themselves physically, learning a new hobby, music or whatever it is, or being spontaneous about a weekend getaway.
Yeah.
Like, they're looking for micro major improvements on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. That's what I think they're looking for. So if you are looking to do that internally, like your children, they're going to be paying attention to that as well too. Yep. They're going to be like, who's this guy? Like, this is really interesting. You know?
That's a good point.
That's my relationship advice.
Anything you want to add? I mean, Manny asked a question and I intercepted it. But is there anything you want to add to that as far as what you're seeing later on in life within your communities?
I think you guys were talking about awareness. Do I think it's a little bit more prevalent? I think you hear about it a little bit more. I think it's socially one of the things. It's just like boundaries. It's the lingo. Yeah. Well, I'm self-aware. These are my boundaries. Do you actually know what it means?
Right.
Are you actually practicing self-awareness? So self-awareness, it's in the dark. you're asking yourself these really tough questions, and the answers that you could be getting from these really tough questions could be hurtful to your, it's not exterior, this is right, it's the socially thing to do right now. Boundaries, right. Self-awareness doesn't necessarily mean though it's being practiced. So do I think it's a little bit
you
more
could be presenting one way 100%.
Does it need to be, is it prevalent right now? It's more prevalent. Yeah, you hear about it more, but I don't think it's really being practiced as much as it should. Whereas I can honestly say there is no harder questions that I ask than there are to myself daily. Right? I
agree.
We're not the same person that we were 10 minutes ago.
I don't want
to. An hour, a year ago, you know, like we're always changing. We're always, but what's different? You know, we have to ask ourselves, how do we get better? You know, what did I do wrong? How can I be better? So on and so forth. Like asking yourself those tough questions. Where do I want to be?
And how do you capture that? And how do you actually track that? Like any other, we're pragmatic people, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I'm practicing self-awareness. I went for a coffee. Well, you know, that's not really quite self-awareness, but whatever. Sure.
I'm curious, Antonio. I want to do the 12 questions with you.
Tell me.
Before that, yeah, I just want to share two comments that will make me a lot of friends with the women that listen to the show. One is, if you're a woman that decides on planning on divorce parties, I got a major fucking issue with that. I've never heard of a man coordinating a divorce party. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think it's needed. I don't think that it should be happening. That's just me.
That's a real thing?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I haven't paid attention. Yeah.
It's a real thing.
That's embarrassing.
It's a sense of pride and I'm free again now.
That's my internal thought. That's
and
embarrassing.
I don't fucking understand it.
I don't get it.
Second is any woman that's on social media that's shaking her booty and selling herself physically, doesn't matter, because we've seen a lot of, listen, beautiful women that are of different age groups is getting 50, 60 years old.
Yep.
But if you're shaking your booty to attract a bunch of men and then you're engaging with all those men, but you're trying to find one person, I'm not going to be the one person leaving a comment, or I'm not even going to be the one person these days that if that comes across my plate, the person gets blocked and I don't even want to see it. I'm not interested. It gets social media fence. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't give a shit. So if it's dopamine hit and you enjoy that and you have a lot of men, you know, saying positive things about you, wonderful. It's great. I won't be one of them. Yeah. That's me, right? So
agreed.
12 questions. What's your favorite construction word or phrase, Antonio?
It is what it is.
Yes. Least favorite tool.
Oh, least favorite tool? Least favorite tool, hammer. Nothing good ever comes from a hammer. Persuader.
Any particular hammer or just a regular claw hammer?
Just a claw hammer, yeah.
Nothing cringes more than seeing a trade using the wrong hammer for the wrong task.
Oh, true. Well, as electricians, we're supposed to use a ball peen hammer, which is that round one, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Where did that come from?
And it's never in anyone's toolbox either or bag.
I have a ball, but I don't understand why an electrician
would use it. I don't know.
I just know that my dad always got upset whenever I grabbed this bricklayer's hammer to hammer just a regular nail in wood, right? Yeah. He's like, that's not meant for
it. Exactly.
Right?
I know. I get it.
He always hated it. What do you miss from your childhood?
Oh, recess, hanging out with the guys.
That bell.
All right.
That bell.
Oh, the bell.
And then the second bell, like, what?
The foot hockey.
Handball.
I miss those days.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. What construction sound do you love?
Good question. What sound do I love on a construction site? I kind of like the sound of, I'm going to say the breaker. Like for me.
Snapping?
For me, as an electrician, hearing the breakers go on. Because I know that's the result of all the hard work, all the planning, all the organization, everything that happened. It used to be dirt. Yeah. Now it's no longer. Yeah. Now it's a 40, 50-story tower, 100 units, and everything is just clicking. So let's reset that breaker, turn it on. It holds.
Unless it breaks back.
That click is probably one of the best things
for me.
In
favorite beverage?
Coffee.
Coffee? What turns you on and off in construction?
Turns me off is really easy. it's that old adage of sink or swim mentality. That mentality, I cannot stand. I don't get it anymore. Like, you know, here are the drawings, just go. And if you fuck up, you fuck up. Yeah, like, yeah. That's not cool with me. Like, that's not my style. The good thing, sorry, what was the
On and off, yeah.
On and off? No, I'm going to stick with that one because that one is still huge in our industry, period. In
construction. For the off or?
The off, yeah.
What's for the on? What turns you on?
I like seeing the new, fresh faces that are willing to put in that time.
Mm, yeah.
I like that.
You can see it in gives their you eyes. Hope. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you know, they're so excited. They're like, oh, that's cool. I've never seen that before. Can I do that? Or, you know, how do you do that? Oh, man, that's a good thing. That's a good thing for me.
Favorite curse word?
It's got to be the F word.
Favorite vehicle, any mode of transportation?
Easy. Porsche 911 Turbo.
What year? New? Old?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
No, man. I'm a Porsche guy.
I'm particular. I don't know what it is. The rough, man, with a nice rough with a whale tail.
Oh.
With a side rear wheel there where you could sit on it like, as if it's a chair.
Mm.
They don't make that anymore. They're trying to bring the whale tail back, but it doesn't work. I don't know why.
I don't know.
Targa. They got the whole retro versions now.
Actually, I like the Targa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Porsche.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Mm. Oh, we've had this conversation before. He wants me to tie in fitness with the construction industry.
Oh yeah.
I think that's where he's kind of looking at me. He's like, you know, like hurry up and get going. I'm going to say definitely something to do with fitness. Yeah. I'm on a mission. Something is
nice.
Something is turning my crank right now about fitness and what's going on. I may incorporate, you know, this take his advice and just go with it. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. What profession would you not like to do?
As electrician, I'm going to say I do not want to be a plumber. I have to say that. Sorry, guys.
You know what's funny? I've heard it the other way around.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know why. It just seems so weird. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You did good.
Thanks, Jonathan, for introducing me to Antonio. Amazing to meet you and hear your story.
Thank you. Amazing to meet you, too.
Keep up the good work and
Thanks. All
kinds of positive stuff. You as well. Stuff, man. Thanks, man.
Love your
show. It's always a pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure to have new people
on
the show.
And thank you to this gentleman for
setting
acknowledging
up.
Me and setting it all up. It means a lot.
How many people you got in your contact list?
Can't answer that today. Because it's constantly growing.
Four
and evolving.
Figures, five figures.
Constantly evolving and growing.
Yeah, that's
right?
All it is. Good. That's all it should be doing.
That's all it is, right? There's people who are in your life for a reason and for a season, and that list constantly goes.
Beautiful.
Right? Yep. So you're welcome, and thank you both. This has been great.
Thank you.
All right, that's it. We're out of here. Thanks. Angelina.